So, we've been thinking about our harvest festival, and I don't know about you, I tend to only go to one harvest festival a year, unless of course you go to another church as well, and you have a school maybe, a harvest festival. But, did you know that Jesus, when he lived in Israel all those years ago, he didn't just have one harvest festival, he had three. And they weren't necessarily called harvest festivals, sometimes they were called pilgrim festivals. Pilgrim festivals, okay? And they're called pilgrim festivals because every man who was a Jew living in Israel at the time, and probably every man who was a Jew outside of Israel, was supposed to go from their house, from their home, all the way to Jerusalem, where they were supposed to offer up praises and a sacrifice to God in the temple in Jerusalem. And this happened three times a year. And they were kind of connected with the harvest. Okay, so we're going to be thinking in the next few minutes, it won't be very long, about each of these festivals and what people remembered and what people were thanking God for and what we remember and how we remember those festivals now. So I need one of the children to work out. There's something over here which doesn't belong on the harvest table. Can you see what it is, Jack? Okay, would you like to open it for us? Is that right? It's a box. It's a sort of sparkly box. There's no jack in the box in there or anything. Just open it up for us. Okay, could you open up what's in there? Or just show everybody what's in there. It's a bag of, can you read what it says?
Bar.
Yep. Second word is bar.
Barley.
Barley. Very good. Excellent. It is barley. Just hold it up so everyone can see. There we go. Barley. Okay, now what would you make with barley? If you got given some barley, you might make, any ideas? Bread. Who said beer? Okay, oh right, okay, yeah, next, she makes the beer with the barley. Yeah, bread, would you do soup? Could you do soup with barley? Barley soup, yeah. Sometimes people put them in drinks, don't they? Have barley drinks, that's what that's about. Okay, Jack, thank you very much. Do you want to put that one down for us? Okay, barley, very good, well done. You go sit down now, thank you very much. Barley was the first crop that was grown in Israel. It was the first crop that was harvested. It was an easier crop to grow. I don't know much about farming, but I do know it's an easier crop to grow. And so when the barley harvest came out, people could sort of relax if there was a good barley harvest, because they knew that if everything else failed, they would still have barley and they could make bread with the barley. But usually barley was given to the poorer people or to the horses. Or to the livestock. So barley wasn't a very precious commodity, except that it meant, if you got it, it meant that you would be all right for the rest of the year. So barley was very precious, it was quite precious, and it was celebrated at the Passover, which our Jewish friends call Pesach. Is that right? Pronunciation, Pesach? And it's about 7 days long, the Passover festival, and it usually takes place around about April, end of March, April, round about the time that we have Easter. Now, does any bright person tell me what the Jewish people looking back to? They're not just celebrating the barley harvest. They're looking back to a particular story in the Bible. Yes. It was Moses. Moses doing what? It was at the end of the 10 plagues. Do you remember there was Moses was told the people of Israel to put the blood of a lamb on the doorposts and the lintels of around the posts, and that way they wouldn't be affected by the final plague, which was the death of the firstborn. And so the people of God, when they look back at the Passover, when they think about the Passover, they remember their plight, leaving Egypt, leaving slavery, and going into freedom. That was what they look back on. And they say, thank you, God, that we have our freedom. Thank you for the barley, but thank you that we have our freedom today because of what happened all those years ago. Actually, at the time that Jesus would have said thank you to God for these things, they weren't free. They were under Roman occupation. So maybe they were hoping there would be another exodus, it would be the Romans that got out instead of Israelites getting out of Egypt. And so they remembered the Passover. But what special thing happened to Jesus at the Passover? Does anybody know the answer to that?
I'll
guess. Go on then, Chris.
Did he die on the cross?
That's exactly it. He died on the cross. That was the week of Passover. So on the meal, the night that Jesus was betrayed, the night he was arrested, he had the Passover meal with his friends. So when we're looking back, and thanking God, maybe for the barley harvest, maybe thanking God for the freedom of the people of Israel, we can also say to God, thank you that Jesus died on that cross and rose again. And he didn't die because of anything wrong he had done, but for the wrong things we've done, so that we might have a friendship with God, that we might be free wherever we are, wherever we live, whichever government we may be under, that we can be free in our hearts, knowing that we are loved by the true and living God. So that's the Passover. That was the festival. And Jesus would have come down all the way from Galilee, all the way down the valley into Jerusalem, and celebrated the Passover every year that he was a grown-up. And that would have been quite a journey. But get this. He had another journey just a few weeks later. Would someone like to open up this box here? Isaac, would you do that for us? Is that all right? Open it up. Okay, there's the box. And there's something in there. What's that second box have inside of it? Bulgur wheat. Yes, I couldn't find wheat. It has to be bulgur wheat. Okay, do you want to show everybody? I think they know what wheat looks like. Very good. And we've got other things on here that were made from wheat originally. Okay, very good. Do you want to put that down? Thank you very much, Isaac. So we've got wheat. And this was the second harvest festival that Jesus would have gone to every year, all the way down from Galilee, all the way down into Jerusalem to celebrate it with other people. And it's called Pentecost. Hey, we all have heard of it, haven't we? It's just that sometimes we forget it was a harvest festival. Sometimes it's called Pentecost, sometimes it's called the Feast of Weeks, because it takes place 7 weeks after the Passover. And it takes place 7 weeks after the Passover, and this year it was at the end of May, just for one day. It takes place then, because that's when the wheat is harvested. And when the wheat is harvested, people know that everything's going to be okay. The wheat is the precious one, is the one they really want, because that's the one that keeps everybody going throughout the year. But it's only a one-day festival. So Jesus would have come all that way, just for one-day festival, and then probably gone all the way back up to Lake Galilee. Our Jewish friends call it Shavuot, and they remember at that festival that Moses was given the Ten Commandments to give to the people. These commandments weren't there to spoil their lives. They were to help them live the good life. The good life. To help them to live well with God. To help them to live well with one another. So the people saying thank you to God for the wheat. But they're also saying thank you to God for your law. Because as we obey your law, we know we are free. We can live the lives we're supposed to live. But what do Christians remember when they think of Pentecost? Anybody think? Anybody tell me what Christians remember when they think of Pentecost? It might not just Moses, but the giving of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem. Just 7 weeks after Jesus had died and rose again at Pentecost, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit came upon the new believers. Those believers, people like Simon Peter and John and James, who had run away when Jesus was arrested, we're now standing up in front of thousands of people and telling them all about Jesus and how he'd risen from the grave. And the Bible tells us that 3,000 people became Christians that day. Wow, fantastic. So when we remember Pentecost, we can say thank you to God for the wheat. We can say thank you to God for his law, but also for his Holy Spirit, who helps us to understand how we should live the good life today. And then there's one final harvest festival that Jesus would have gone to. And it was all... Oh, I've given it away now, haven't I? Never mind. Here we go. Here's the box. Thomas, would you like to open the box for me? Would you do that for me? Could you open that and tell me what's inside? I think the grown-ups have got an idea. What is it?
Grapes.
Grapes. I tell you, do you want to keep those on your table? Do you like grapes? Oh, yes. The eyes widened at that point. Yes, okay, you can keep the grapes. Not the box, I'm having the box back, but you can have the grapes. Okay, and this was the fruit harvest. This was sometime later. This was the Feast of the Tabernacles, sometimes called the Feast of Tents, or sometimes called the Feast of Booths, or in the Bible, it's just called the Feast sometimes. Okay, our Jewish friends call it Sukkot, and very soon they will be celebrating this harvest festival. It's an 8-day festival over September, October time, and it's when the people of God, the Jewish people, look back and they remember their time in the desert, when they lived in tents, and how God gave them food to eat and water to drink. And they thought about how they looked forward to a time when they would join, they go into the promised land. So our Jewish friends look back at this moment, at the tents, and they think about what God had done for them, how God was faithful to them. So they were saying thank you to God for the grapes and the pomegranates and the figs and the olives that had all been grown over the summer. But this was the end of the harvest. They were saying thank you to God for that, but also thank you to God for his faithfulness over many years. But here we go. Here's one for the grown-ups. What in the New Testament happened at the Feast of Tabernacles? Ooh, I had to look it up. I didn't know. What happened at the Feast of Tabernacles in the New Testament? Anybody know? I'm glad you don't know, because I'm going to tell you. All right, here we go. This is what happened. Jesus went to Jerusalem with his disciples, and what would happen in Jerusalem at the Feast of the Tabernacles was that the priest would go down to the pool of Siloam with a great big jug. He would fill it up with water, and he'd walk all the way up to the temple, go into the temple, and he'd pour the water onto the altar. But the water on the altar didn't taste like what it ought to. Okay. He poured the water on the altar, and this was a prayer. This was a prayer to God saying, thank you, God, for the water that we've had this year. But we live in a hot country. We need water to drink. We're going to need water for our plants in this next year so that we have a harvest this time next year. And people would do that, or rather the priest would do that in front of everybody. And everybody would know that the water had been poured out into the temple. And it's in this context that Jesus stands up and in a loud voice that everybody here could hear, he said these words. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them. Wow. Jesus said this and was saying, it's good to pray for water. It's good to thank God for water. But you need me because I am the stream of living water. I'm the living water. I can give you life and give it to the full. You need to follow me and trust me. So while the priests were praying this prayer about rain, about the rain coming maybe in the next year, Jesus was talking about himself being the living water. And then something else happened as well. The priest or other people within the temple would go to the court of the women, where the women would go, and they would light four enormous candelabras, okay? These great big things that are about 75 feet high. And sometimes they were menorahs, or sometimes they were just candles. And they would light these candles. And we're told from, not from the Bible, from other sources, that the whole light would light up the temple and would light up the whole city of Jerusalem. That people everywhere could see these lights in the temple. And it was at this time, at this feast, that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So as Christians today, if we love Jesus and we're following Jesus, yes, we want to say thank you for God for all this food that we often take for granted. But we also want to thank him for his faithfulness and for his love, for the fact that Jesus is the light of the world, for the fact that he is the living water, for the fact that he shows us and gives us his Holy Spirit so that we may know how to live the good life. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So then thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for all his love. You know, there was one other thing that the people did at the Feast of Tabernacles. They didn't just look back and think about what God had done. They looked forward to a time when the Messiah would come. Well, we can look forward to a time when the Messiah will come, not for the first time, but for the second time. And the Bible talks about there being another harvest, not of food, but a harvest of people. When Jesus returns, he will gather up all those who love him to be with him forever. And to be with him in a place where there are no tears, no crying, no hurt, no conflict, no hunger, no poverty. None of the things that cause problems in our lives will be there with Jesus. That's why we look forward.